Your best employee or your best printer or your best staff might not be your best manager. And that's like a big thing that I learned super early on. This is a really hard conversation. This is like really tough, but I think it's really real.
If you go to easyway.com/giveaway, you got to do this. And you should do it every single month because they're giving away $250 in free giveaways. That's in product credit for Easyway. So just head to easyway.com/giveaway, enter in your info and be entered so you can win some of this stuff. Easyway is making reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their systems, chemicals, and equipment. Thanks, Easyway. Next up, Stalls. Use the code HUSTLER20. That's 20% off your next DTF transfer order. Stalls is helping shops take custom apparel to the next level. They've got incredible equipment, transfers, and support for your business to stay smart and stay ahead. Also hosting a ton of really great conferences lately. So that's a really another thing to be able to attend and that Stalls has been hosting. So thank you, Stalls. Multicraft underscore daddy. You guys know the drill. You know the drill. Dave at Multicraft is sending out incredible gifts every single week. Go to his Instagram, Multicraft underscore daddy. Multicraft daddy is sharing unbelievable amount of screen printing history too. So a really cool follow. Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies have been around for over 50 years, providing the industry with top brands at competitive pricing. And honestly, it's a great business to be able to get help because they have top brands at competitive pricing. And not only that, they're able to help you and go physically into your business and really build a relationship there. So that's huge. Last but not least, GraphX Source. GraphX Source offers industry-leading outsourcing options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management solutions. And when it comes to SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, digitizing, and so on, there's no better to work with in our space. They've been at it for over 40 years as well. So use the code Printavo Pod 24. That's 50% off your first vector, SEP, or digitized order to give them a try. All right, let's jump on in. We were live, part two. Steven and I were texting after the last episode, and we were like, hey, that was great. And so let's ask Jordan if he's free again. He's back. We got part two. So thanks for jumping on again.
Second date. I guess it's getting pretty serious. Oh, it's been good, man. I've been spending, actually, the last 2 days, I've been grinding on Claude Code again.
Really? So last time you were talking about, it was AI tooling for a KPI dashboard, if I remember. Is that what you're working on now? Or are you doing something else?
Couple fixes to that, but actually I started kind of a new project, a little more elaborate one. And this is actually something that's kind of more for like the racing industry, which is kind of against my guidelines I set forth for myself because I need to try to stay focused, but I wanted to learn as much as I could. So I'm like, well, I can build something that will be useful for me and then might be useful for some other people as well. And if anything, I'm just going to learn a lot from it. And so I have learned a shit ton from it, to be honest with you. And it's been fun, but I don't want to say too much about it quite yet, but nobody that is probably interested in that's going to probably listen to this maybe anyways, but as far as the racing side of it, but
and you're building a web application using Claude Code.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, Steven's been sending me a ton of links too. He's just constantly building. He uses one called Replit, R-E-P-L-I-T. And I mean, there's tons of, we were texting with Jonathan actually at Success Print Shop and last night, and he's building N8N integrations to like his Monday and Printavo and pulling in statuses of boxes and where they're at and popping up on the dashboard if they're arrived or not. But yeah, it's kind of crazy how much these tools have like broken down barriers to let you just, fill the little holes and needs and things that you want to do.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you have superpowers, honestly. Like there's definitely some like learning curve to it, like to try to get like a good output, and then just learning, like there's so many tools that you have to like combine to make things work, you know, like using Vercel and Supabase and like email JS and like all these different tools that you have to like combine together to like make something happen. It makes it really easy to do, but you still like to have an understanding of how it works. And then to understand like, you know, this in this previous build that I was just doing on this app, I just learned so much about how to, you know, make sure how you don't want to just go deploy a big thing and like say, go build this thing. Like you want to break it down and do it in steps and double check your work as you go. And you end up with a lot better product.
So in Claude, there's three products, main products. There's one called Claude Code, which Jordan's talking about. There's one called Claude Cowork, and then Claude Chat. Claude Chat is just like ChatGPT, type, talk back and forth, analyze files, things like that. Really powerful. Drop in a CSV file and ask it to give you trends and, you know, group together my create an average order value and give it to me monthly, you know, for all of this data. It does really cool stuff like that. Claude Cowork, very cool, separate feature. Allows you to connect things that are on your desktop, so files on your desktop, and allows you to connect things on the web, a CRM, a Printavo, a Gmail, Google Calendar, all that kind of stuff. And that one has been fascinating because there is a add-on called plugins, and I found this one yesterday actually, and it's a sales plugin. And what it helps you do is do sales-based research. So if you're trying to do outbound or you're trying to reach out to people and you want to quickly do research, you could call this thing in Cowork and say, hey, do research on this email address. And it pulls back all kinds of info for you to write an outbound email. Now, step two in that is that it can carry, if you say, you know, you got to give it instructions and how you want to talk and your tone, of which I find interesting, you could say, go through my inbox and just understand my tone and how I talk to people and use that as the foundation. Draft an email to send an outbound message to this person and put it into the drafts. So it does that. Now you can imagine this at scale, right? It's like, okay, you know, you don't want to get blocked for spam, but hey, create 20 messages like this on Tuesday morning and drop that in there. And then, you know, I think you're still going to want to, like, I'm still finding I need to go through each one and customize it a little bit, make it a little bit better and then send. Very, very cool. That's Claude Cowork, really powerful. And, you know, go to claude.com basically or Claude AI or whatever it's called and just download it to your desktop. And this is how you start using these tools. If you haven't, think about what I found was helpful is think about a task that you just do, like maybe it's once a week, every day, and use that to try to automate some of this stuff. Do you spend a lot of time building these tools, Jordan? Or like what did yesterday look like as a day?
Well, to be honest with you, yesterday I spent probably too much time working on that. But I'm the type of person where like I'm just so all in or I'm so all out. I probably said that already before, but so I get in on something and I'm just wide open. So I was spending a lot of my day messing with that. And of course doing a lot of other things, all the other, tasks in my day that I have to do. But that was the majority of my day, to be honest with you. It was just doing a lot of learning and a lot of building.
What are some of the tasks you feel like you're managing still, like as you as the owner that you either want to manage it, maybe can you categorize them as like, I enjoy doing this. And then also I want to get rid of this at some point.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess I love what I'm doing right now. I've dropped a few different things. Like we started actually originally as a sign company. And so I've dropped a lot of like the installations and some of the, we used to do race car wraps and stuff. And we quit doing that kind of stuff here recently, just so that it doesn't consume so much of my time.
As in you stopped doing it totally, like no selling it, or as in you stopped doing it?
So like on the race car wrap side that we used to do, I don't do any of them anymore. I do a couple just for some friends. But then on the commercial side, the sign installation and the vehicle wraps, we will do all that. But we do some, We have some partners that'll help us with the installations. We don't have anybody here full time anymore that does that sort of installation stuff for us. So we've just found a couple people that are local that also do it, and we kind of sub that part of it out to them. But we'll do the production of the signs and decals and stuff. We do all that in house, anyways.
Jordan, how much, and I think we had such a good episode last week. We wanted to dig into more, like, and get really, really tactful in understanding Jordan, what he does on a day-to-day basis, where you spend your time, and then like how you operate different parts of the business. How much of your time is actually spent hands-on in the production facility doing, like, yeah, working on the craft?
Very little, like in spurts. So, I mean, there'll be certain times where I can go back and do some playing, which is, you know, like I'm definitely a visionary. I guess what they refer to as like a visionary or an ideas person. And so I'll get something in my head and then I'll go spend some time doing it or kind of like refining a project. But as far as like spending, like, I don't screen print. I will. I mean, if there's a job that's got to get done, I will screen print it. I don't know how to run the embroidery machines, but I've helped fix them and stuff like that. But as far as like the day-to-day on the production side, I'm not doing anything there. I'm definitely more on the front end of things.
As an owner, what involvement, what like for me, you know, I meet with our GM of production and our purchasing manager once a week. That's my involvement in production. What is your involvement from a CEO level in the company? Is there like different cadences you have?
Yeah. Putting out fires, I guess, probably more than anything. I mean, I would say it's there's so many processes that we are always trying to fix. And I think this is probably something, one of my, I would say it's a strong point and a weak point for me, but I'm always trying to, you know, I'm a believer that if anything breaks, there's always a reason it did, right? So it always starts from the top. There's always a reason behind something. And so I spend a lot of my time just trying to put out fires and fix things, I guess, on a daily basis. Does that make sense, or am I not getting to what you're asking?
Do you spend a lot of, because I always felt that I was running around putting out fires way too much of the time. And I'm not sure if that's because the fires, like I took pride in putting out the fires, I think. And so they would naturally more so come up. Do you find the same, or do you think like, oh, no, like I'm the only person that could decide what to do with this situation?
No, I definitely try to empower other people to make those decisions. And, you know, for the most part, to be honest with you, we have a good crew of people, and a lot of them have been here for a long time, so they can handle the majority of the issues on themselves. Or they can handle the majority of the issues themselves. I don't want to be the one putting out fires, but there's definitely times where, you know, I mean, of course I've been here the longest and I have the most expertise, and I've, you know, kind of built everything from the ground up, so I guess, so to speak. So when there is an issue, a lot of times it might end up on my shoulders. But I'm usually trying to help people or come up with a better process or a standard operating procedure to then fix that. So I guess that's where, I guess, SOPs and building processes is kind of, like I say, the majority of the time that I spend.
Do you feel like, though, like, okay, just think about the fire you put out yesterday. Do you think if you wouldn't have responded or you were out, like, what would have happened? Like, would it have self-solved, or was it that you put it out faster, or...
A lot of the problems we have, honestly, are because like it's really hard to pull, or it's really hard when you have these three different locations and like everyone working in tandem. And so a lot of times it's just if we don't fix those problems, life will go on. Things will get done. It'll probably be okay. And maybe over a long period of time, it'll fix itself. But it's just going to be a compounding issue that if you let it go, it's just like, it's going to be painful until finally somebody else probably steps in and fixes it. And I think that's something I see usually like early on. I see like, okay, hey, here's an issue. Let's do something to fix it. I also do that to a fault where, sometimes I jump on things that probably don't need to be addressed and don't need to be fixed right now either.
What's an example of like with a three facility setup like you have? And for folks who didn't hear part one, Jordan has about 20 folks on the team, three different locations from acquiring different spaces and wanting to expand into neighboring cities. Is there an example of what happens when you have that? And again, I guess we don't know the split between facilities.
Yeah. Well, I guess for the, as far as the split goes, I think I maybe mentioned the last time, but the Dawson and the Watertown facilities are essentially sales and retail. And then all the production happens here in Montevideo. And some of the issues that will, and when I say issues, I mean, not all of them are issues, but some of the instances that happen are like just doing things differently from location to location. So for instance, maybe like the way that we open and run a store in the closing time. So like getting everybody on the same page that, hey, if we got 30 spring sports stores going on, you got to make sure that they're not all going to close on the same day. Like it, that doesn't work well, right? So, cause then they're all due on the same day. So doing things, even simple things like that, it's a lot of times it's everything comes down to just communication. And I understand that communication is extremely important, even though I'm probably not the best communicator. And then helping everybody understand, like, if you make a change, you need to document that change. If you change the end date of a store, you need to document that change of that store. You can't assume that somebody else is watching the store date change. If you don't put it in the calendar and you don't do it the proper way, you know, it's going to result in orders getting missed or things happening. And so those are like a lot of those types of issues that you have from place to place, because if everybody's here, you can, I mean, I guess, you know, have your thumb on everybody, or you can have your thumb on that process and you can fix those problems quicker and easier.
Jordan, if I put a GoPro on you and it was like body cam of Jordan, walk me through what Monday looks like. Because what I really want to do is I want shops to be able to, you know, kind of like, you've obviously done something right at your age with multiple locations, doing several million dollars of rep, like something's going right. So what does your day look like on a Monday? Walk us through what Monday looks like from, you know, when you get out of bed to when you go home for the day. Yeah.
So every week's a little bit different. It kind of depends on what project I guess I'm working on for that week. But I mean, a typical Monday for me, I get up, I go to the gym, I get to work by 7:30, 8 o'clock, going through emails, try to walk through the facility, say hi to everybody, little chit chat, stuff like that. And then I typically have some sort of project that I'm working on. I guess most of my days are project based. It just kind of depends on what that is. And every day is a little different. One good thing I did is I switched, I made my Mondays a little bit more fluid, and I do my own payroll, which is just through QuickBooks. So it's pretty simple, but I switched that to Tuesdays. So Mondays are kind of a little bit more open for me. Some days I'm just going to do, if there's something that needs to be done, if there's a fire that needs to be put out, something needs to be fixed, I'll do that. Otherwise I'm typically working on a project, whether that's something with our sales team, if it's something on some sort of backend type of thing we're working on, a reporting thing, some sort of automation. It's just kind of whatever project I got going. And so, like I mentioned this week, it was building that app, which wasn't technically for the, you know, for the screen print shop, right? But the things I've learned already, now I got like 50 more things where I'm like, oh man, I could do this now. I can do this now. I can do this. That's going to help me in FS threads.
So then do you keep your Mondays? So like I have a lot of standing meetings. I'm probably in a typical week, probably 12 to 13 hours of meetings a week, which is probably too much. How many, like, do you have standing meetings, leadership calls, one-on-ones, or do you keep your Monday wide open?
I try to keep my Mondays pretty much wide open. I mean, we have a production meeting 2 days a week, Mondays and Thursdays. I go to that most of the time, or I say about half the time. I'll try to make that meeting and just kind of sit in and answer any questions or offer help in some ways. And that's where a lot of times other issues might get brought up that I can address and try to help fix. And then, I mean, I don't, we don't do a ton of meetings. And I think the reason for that for me is because I'm such a scatterbrain that I love the idea of it, and then I don't stick to it enough. So I've learned like kind of less is more for me on the meeting end of things, where it's like, we'll do our quarterly EOS type style meeting. And then we try to do a monthly sales meeting. And then we have our production meetings, and then outside of my employee check-ins and stuff that we're doing quarterly. I really don't do a ton of meetings.
How is that production meeting ran on Monday and Thursdays? Like, what's the bullet points?
So the way we do it right now is basically, and we call it a production meeting, but my wife does meet with the production team separately. But a lot of this production meeting is more of like, hey, here's what we got going on for the week. These are the deadlines we got to hit. And it's mainly actually the office staff that are in on this meeting. And we're just kind of going through. We have lists of like what needs to get delivered at what days to our different locations, and just kind of trying to make sure we got everything T's crossed, I's dotted, and just making sure that we're in good communication with each other. So it's kind of, we hop onto Printavo. We've actually now used a Gemini and have it kind of go through and say, hey, give me a list of all the jobs that are due this week and break them down by location. And so then we'll print that off quick, bring it there, and then just kind of double check our work. And we touch base with both locations, or all three, I guess, technically, whatever. But and just kind of more of a, I don't want to say like a social time. I mean, we're not talking about anything outside of work, but it's a communication time to just make sure that we're kind of hitting all the nails on the head. The one on Mondays probably ends up being about an hour. And then later in the week, it's a little shorter because it's just kind of making sure, hey, yeah, this got done, this got delivered. This is a rush job. It's got to be done by Friday.
Got it. So the Thursday one is kind of like a review of what happened plus what to knock off for Friday.
Correct. Yeah.
So then, okay. So there's production meetings, and it sounds like your wife runs it or someone else runs it. So it's not you, because if you ran it, it probably would be all over the place. What other routines and habits are very consistent in the business? So it's like payroll is on Tuesday, production meeting is on Monday and Wednesday. What are other, because I think of a business as different buckets, you know, sales, marketing, accounting and finance, production, operations. What are the different routines and habits that you just kind of touched on? And if you don't have them, that's cool. But I think these are just like interesting to talk through.
So are you like referring to more of like me specifically or everybody else?
Maybe everyone else and how you interact with that.
Well, once again, there probably isn't that much that's super consistent when it comes to how I'm interacting with it anyways, just because I'm a scatterbrain and I have a hard time focusing on one thing at a time. So I would say as far as that consistency goes, it's probably non-existent. I mean, I think everybody in their position and in their roles, they have absolute consistencies to their day of things that they're doing. You know, just for an example, like, you know, like the screen room technician, you know, I mean, they're going to have consistency. They get to work and they know that the first thing they do is they're going to go to the computer and see if there's screens to print there or screens to burn. And they'll go through that part of their day. And then they know next that if they need to help with the dryer or help with folding or bagging, they're going to do that. And then they know in the later afternoon that's time to clean screens if it needs to be done. And then at the end of the day, they'll record how many screens they have and send that over to the production manager through our app or whatever. And so that we kind of know what's so like, I guess every person in their jobs have structure to their day. But I'm not, I guess for me, I'm not, you know, other than maybe reminding them sometimes if people forget or if they're not following what they're supposed to be doing, I guess. But outside of that,
are there any sales related meetings like that? Like something like you have production, but with sales, let's say, hey guys, we want to drum this up, or I want to try to target this group. Or do you do any, like for example, at Printavo, we would have a weekly sales meeting just going through, hey, what are some objections we're having to people wanting to sign up? Let's get those over to product if there are product issues. What are what's our conversion rate looking like? Anything that anyone's found that's like wording wise has worked well? And you know, it's like a shorter meeting, maybe 30 minutes or so. It, do you do Do you do something like that?
So we do, like, we'll do a monthly sales meeting where we do some planning and we'll talk about things that we want to do in the upcoming, you know, we do a lot of stuff in the sports and corporate stuff. So the corporate's pretty steady throughout the year, but obviously sports seasons change and there's different things going on there. So we'll do that monthly and sit down with the sales team and talk about that kind of stuff. But otherwise, a lot of it for us anyways is just more kind of on the fly. And so once again, I mean, I'll tackle something. I'll maybe, if something's worth implementing, I'll implement that, or I'll kind of do it on more of a project by project basis. But outside of that monthly meeting, a lot of that stuff is just going to be one-on-one after that, you know. So I'll sit down with Dave, our sales guy in Watertown, when I'm over there, and we'll sit and just talk, and I'll take notes. And if there's something I can do to help his job or help fix something, I'll do that. But otherwise, like, you know, once again, the structured meeting things, it's just so hard. And because we're also so seasonal, so we get, when we're busy, we're really, really, really busy. And then when we're slow, we can get pretty dang slow. So, and that's when things probably get really scary for everybody, because then I come up with too many wild ideas.
So then, Jordan, like, you kind of mentioned, okay, if I go out to Watertown, I'll meet with them, or if I'm here, I'll meet with them. How do you ensure that everyone is well supported, knowing that you have multiple locations, multiple people? Because, like, something I struggle with is, you know, what I've learned is you can only really manage 5 or 6 people. And once you start missing a couple one-on-ones, holy shit, I haven't talked to this person in a month. Next thing you know, 3 months later, they put in their 2 weeks and they're like, yeah, I wasn't well supported. And you're just like, shit, right? I guess, how do you make sure people feel heard? Do they just reach out to you when they need to have a meeting? How does that work?
So that's a tough thing. And so, I mean, Steven, I'm sure that you can relate to a time when you were probably our size at that 20 employee point, and you're like right on the cusp of having that middle management type of tier, but you don't really have it quite yet. And so honestly, that's probably one of the biggest things for us right now that is super hard, is I am trying to manage way too many people, and I probably don't do a good enough job of it. I try to make sure everybody understands that if there's anything on your mind, you can always talk to me. I'm not somebody that is hard to talk to, I don't think. So I do the best that I can, but I think that we're kind of at an inflection point right now where it's like, and I guess everybody says that any point in time you're at in your business is the hardest point you've ever been at. And, you know, you think, well, the next hire is going to make this better. I don't know that for certainty, but I just know that managing, you know, as many people as we are, and essentially the way we kind of break it down is, you know, I'm managing the office and the sales team, and my wife is managing the production team. And that's too many people for each of us to manage. There's no doubt about it, but we just do the best we can and just kind of keep our foot on the gas and try to get to that point where we can help bring in more of the right people.
Yeah. I remember 20 to 30 was really difficult. And to be transparent, I kind of burned out at 30 because I was like in that weird, you know, couple good managers, but probably needed the full department stack of managers at 25 to 30. But that required a significant investment just in payroll, which means we would run in the red for a while until hopefully that would bubble up to the next spot. And it was like those stepping stools. And I think shops definitely clearly have that too, where it's, you know, okay, if you grow past 25-ish people, you have to jump more quickly, probably to closer to 40 to like flesh it out and make it worth it. And revenue-wise, be able to clear profit again. And that's painful. Like, so it almost makes you wonder, is like, yeah, okay, can you use all this custom tooling you're doing or, you know, allowing people to be kind of like senior individual contributors that take on more responsibility and maybe up level those folks to try to not add management, or totally commit and double down to it and try to race past until the next goalpost. I'm not exactly sure. It's hard to like stall growth, and then it's hard at the same time to be stretched thin. What do you think, Steven? You jumped through that part.
I think it's like Brett Bowden or someone that has said like, the difference between running a $3 million company and a $7 million company actually is relatively the same. It's just about people. and people management. And it might be harder at a lower threshold because you don't have middle management. The hardest part about middle management is taking the jump to actually hire someone at a premium. And it's, so it's like, you know, this is a $70,000 to $80,000 to $100,000 employee, and there's probably not a direct ROI on it. And it's probably going to take 12 to 18 months for them to start paying themselves off, or the revenue is going to start to climb to afford them. But the second you do that and you make a commitment to management, you put oxygen into your business. And I think that's the biggest thing, is once I realized that I needed like oxygen and people to manage people, that's really when our business started to like boom, because I literally could turn my back to it, or I would just have one report in that department. And so I think that's like, I think a lot of people listening to this, if you've got 12 to 15 employees, you know, maybe instead of buying another press, it's hiring middle management. I don't know. This is a really hard conversation. This is like really tough, but I think it's really real. And I think the one other thing is, your best employee or your best printer or your best staff might not be your best manager. And that's like a big thing that I learned super early on, is management is a completely different skill than being a good operator. They're two completely different things. Now, you can't have a manager that can't operate per se, but it's more important to find skills and qualities in management. That was just my riff.
Yeah. Jordan, can we go through the business stack of FastThread? So we'll name a couple different departments, and just curious how you run it, or what's like, who runs it and how that part works. So first one is an easy one, accounting / bookkeeping stuff. How does that set up?
So I have a gal that works for us who is our in-house accountant. And so she does the day-to-day books. And then we have an outside accountant too that does more of the complex type of stuff. So they kind of handle it all now, between those two. And then I'll step in a little bit, because I get really picky about like things being in the right categories and for all the data points and stuff like that. So those two pretty much handle all that.
And why don't you let them do payroll?
That's a really good question. Because I think payroll right now, my in-house accountant isn't an HR person, and I kind of put those two things together, which maybe that's wrong, but I guess I'm HR and I take care of the time off schedule. I run the payroll, but honestly, we do QuickBooks Time, QuickBooks Online. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's probably like any other payroll software where everyone's clocking in on their phone, and I'm really just kind of going through, double checking, making sure there's not any discrepancies, which it actually points out if there usually is. And then doing that. And then I also do the calculations for the commissions for our sales guys. So I just want to make sure that stuff's right. And so I guess that's one thing I hold on to.
Is the commissions like a based off a gross, like a percentage based off a gross sale? Or do you go in the weeds on like net and different product categories and all that?
Nah, we keep it to gross. That net stuff's really hard to track. I don't have that much time.
It's interesting. You could probably drop it in the Claude now too.
Do you think you could give that to, so our accounting and finance team, our CFO, he oversees HR as well. So he handles all of our payroll, and that was something I held on to for a while and then finally gave it off. Do you think it's something that they could do, or is it just more of a control thing that you're like, it's money, it's dollars, I want to do it?
No, it's something they could do, but like we have a few people that already take on too much. And so some of those people that would naturally be doing that type of job, they're already doing too many other things. And so plus also like, I want to be needed, and a little structure for me, as you guys can probably tell, isn't all that bad. So that's a structure thing for me every Tuesday that I get to do.
Okay, cool.
Full-time or part-time for the bookkeeper?
She's full-time. She does other stuff too. So she does in-house accounting. She builds stores. She was originally hired actually as customer service, and she's been here for a few years now. And then she went to school for accounting, and so she's taken that on. So she's kind of a Swiss Army knife for us. She does a lot of different things.
I was going to say, who pays the bills, like SNS, Sanmar, credit cards, things like that?
Yeah, she does. She does, the in-house accountant.
Okay. So someone's paying the bills, not you. That's a good feeling.
I review them all. So when they come in, the mail comes in, I do sort the mail. I forget. That is something I do every day as well. I do go through the mail. It's always, you know, everyone likes opening the checks. So that's kind of, you do that, check them out every day. And then check the bills and just kind of quick scan, make sure you don't see anything goofy or anything out of line. And I also ask her to do that audit for me too. But yeah, she takes care of paying all the bills and paying the S&S and SAMR. And
what's the next department, Bruce?
Okay. Next department, Jordan, marketing. What does that look like?
That's one we're probably lacking in a little bit. That's very hit and miss for us. I would say that I'm kind of the one usually drumming up some of the marketing ideas. We have had other people that were in charge of that in the past, and then their jobs have kind of evolved into more of, well, in fact, the gal that was kind of taking hold of a lot of the marketing, she's running the store in Watertown. That's one spot that we need to sharpen our pencil on for sure. But I usually come up with some different marketing stuff on my own, or sometimes other people will come up with ideas. It's some people's 90-day rocks have some different marketing things depending on the type of customer that they've kind of spearheaded as well. But most of our marketing is in-person sales, to be honest with you, anymore. So, which isn't ideal. I mean, we should be doing a lot more. So some for us to work on.
You said most of your marketing is in-person sales?
Yeah. I mean, you know, our sales guys are on the streets, or, you know, meeting with businesses and doing that in-person selling, and especially.
So they're doing outbound then, it sounds like, in a way. It's just not online, but.
Yeah, they'll do some of both. I mean, they'll absolutely, you know, cold email, especially some of them will do more cold emails and stuff as well, but it's mainly in person and just relationship building.
We talked about sales a bit. We talked about production a bit. Do you guys do anything? Like, what's the stack look like management-wise? And I guess this is maybe you and your wife. So is that like dinner table? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I mentioned, you know, I mean, I'm managing most of the office and the sales staff. And then my wife is managing the production staff. But we do have, in Watertown, Lindsay, the gal that runs that store, she manages that store. And so she takes care of a lot of the day-to-day things that happen in that store. And kind of, I guess that would be our middle management, right? I mean, I don't need to usually worry about anything that's going on there. And likewise in Dawson. So the guy that I bought that company from, Jim, he's still working there and he manages that store. And so if there's any part-time employees, he'll take care of that. If there's any sort of, you know, daily issues that arise in that location, he's taking care of that. So as far as management, I mean, that's kind of how it trickles right now. I mean, it's me and my wife, and then we have kind of two other people at the other stores, essentially, you know, managing and running those operations. And then we have a gal here at this store. They kind of, a couple of them kind of, I would say, kind of co-own it a little bit as far as like the managerial part of it. But there's one gal that's been here the longest that, I mean, if we're gone, she's got it under control.
Got it. And do you guys do a manager meeting at some point? Or, for example, I never like set aside enough time for just managers to maybe meet. And I know it's popular to do an offsite, or, you know, maybe it's a quarterly thing. Do you guys try to do that?
Yeah, just the quarterlies, you know. And you guys are making me feel like I got to get my shit together here.
Dude, I didn't do this either. Steven does it more. I didn't do it. And like, I'm riffing off stuff that I see now people do. And I'm like trying to add context of I did not do this. Do you do this?
Like I mentioned before, man, we don't do a ton of structured meetings like that. I mean, we do our quarterlies, but I don't know. We just don't do a lot of stuff that way. And it's probably, once again, it all really comes down to the fact of I don't have that implementer to really kind of keep me grounded and keep me focused. And so I've learned that don't make promises that you can't keep. And so don't go say, we're going to do this meeting. And then I get working on something, or I get in some sort of project and I decide I don't have time to do those meetings or whatever, then, you know, then my word doesn't mean shit. So.
Yeah, I think one of the worst things you can do is set a habit, tell the team you're going to do it, say we're going to meet every week, and then you start canceling. My biggest pet peeve to our leaders is canceling meetings. I hate it because it's like someone else was prepared for that meeting, and that just means you have something that's more important than them. So it's like maybe there's some wisdom there. It's like, I'm not going to start putting in all this stuff if I can't stay to it. But what if, for a second, Jordan, I guess we're doing a little open heart surgery right here on your business. Sorry for being vulnerable, but I think this is cool. What if you had an integrator or an implementer that could actually put structure in place? What would the dream state be?
Oh, dude, I think I've spent a lot of time soul searching lately about like, what is that next thing, right? Because you kind of can look at it and go, man, I could use 40 different people and this and this and this. And I've really learned, like, I need somebody to help keep me grounded and to sometimes knock a little sense into me. Being the type of person that I am, being a scatterbrain, being a visionary, being somebody that wants to dive headfirst in things and you know, what do you say? Like, you know, I can come in and pitch the first few innings, but if you don't have a good closer, you're not going to win shit. Right. So, that would be amazing for us. It's probably really, truly the next thing that we need to do to take us to the next level is to have somebody like that can bring some more structure, and help us treat the company, like it should be treated, in the sense of like, when you have 20 people, there's things that you should be doing a certain way and you can't keep running it. And I don't want to say that we are running it like a $2 million company, but you know, clearly the things that we're talking about, like we don't have a ton of structure and a ton of meetings, and we can work on communication in a lot of different ways. So, I think that'd be huge for us. I think that would help propel us to that next level for sure.
Yeah, what I have found is that I have to hire people that are opposite of me, because if you had a bunch of Stevens running around, that'd be dangerous. That'd be a tropical storm. Yeah, tsunamis. And so our CFO, Steve, his name is Steve as well. He is the polar opposite of me, but we're the bestest of friends. But he's the one that he runs all the meetings. He takes all the notes. He pushes the sled forward. He follows up with everyone. And then he holds me accountable to it. If in your business, you're thinking about hiring a manager, actually don't hire for what you like hire for what you're bad at. You know, Bruce, I'm curious, if you were to think back and maybe like you've made hiring wins and hiring mistakes, can you maybe talk about the best managers you've hired and maybe some of the mistakes you've made?
I think the best managers I've hired, I knew that what happened right away was you kind of get in their way if you poke in too much. And maybe, Jordan, you see this or already have with, you know, your wife managing production. She's like, hey, I got it. Like, you know, I'll let you know if I need something. I think that was definitely a sign, but also a hard thing for me to step back from at the same time too. But that was like oh wow, this person's like really up leveling. And it's crazy because when there's emergencies, this person can be able to handle it and I don't have to think about it. The mistakes I made is, I would say, just I'm more on the manager end, is not holding them accountable to some sort of numbers. So, you know, not being that like, okay, hey, you know, we set these goals, we missed this. Like, all right, well, next month. And I guess this is for any role, really, not just the manager role, but like gave way, way too many chances. And I think setting a black and white, like a 90-day thing, like, okay, we're 30 days in. Hey, we're way off, or you know, we missed it. Why did we miss it? Okay, let's work on that. All right, 60 days in. Okay, we're still way off. Like, is this a good fit? And then at 90 days, like if it's 3 months and someone's just not, It just doesn't turn around after 90 days. And not only that, the negativity, the poor results compound. So you could have had someone else in that role if they were better by, you know, and actually doing, and like they, we split off a fork in the road and one person's going completely to the right. One person's going completely to the left, and distance gets further and further in terms of how much further you could have been. So anyway, I think that's the biggest mistake. And yeah, I'm just thinking of a couple of specific people and it gives me
Jordan, do you have, you know, you're obviously in Fabric and all that, but do you have coaches or people that hold you accountable? I know obviously fitness is a big thing, but like who holds you accountable? What's your circle look like for you?
That's one of the things that is hard about being in such a small community in a small town is like, I mean, yeah, do I have my mentors in my life and like the people that I look up to 100%? I mean, my dad being one of them. He's the guy that gave me my first $6,000 loan to buy a vinyl plotter in 2013 or whatever. So like, yeah, I look up to him. He's been an entrepreneur his whole life. He's been successful in his own ways. And then there's a few other, you know, local people that I look up to and I'll bounce some things off of. But that's one thing that honestly, guys, that, and not that I want to make your heads explode here, but like Fabric has been so good for me because it's given me so many people to look up to and so many people to like, there's so many people in my group. Like I know all these guys are good at different things and have different wisdom and different insights. And so that's been really big for me is, you know, like I say, being in such a small area, like there's not a ton of big business around here. And a lot of the big businesses and people around here don't own those big businesses. You know, not trying to say that there's not like, you know, obviously there's very successful people and things, but it's just, it's a little different in that way of like, you know, there is no local, like, you know, entrepreneurship groups and stuff like that around here to have access to. So that's one thing I think for me, like Fabric's been really, really big. And it's introduced me to other people, like even in Minnesota that have bigger businesses than me or anywhere in the country where now I can, you know, that's my introduction to them. And then we can have some conversations and I've learned a ton that way.
Bruce, you've got some people in your life too, like old bosses, old founders, people you met from college, right? Like you kind of have a circle of advisors and mentors.
Yeah. I mean, I think you list them all. I don't know if I've ever like officially nominated, like, hey, can you be a mentor? But it was just, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you, just like keep poking at people to help make a few less mistakes. But yeah, I you know, if you're not, if you're a bit shy, I would definitely send someone that you find doing something cool an email. Hey, I really appreciate, like, this is really cool that you did. I was just curious if I could pick your brain on something. And like 9 times out of 10, they'd be more than willing to chat and help. It's been super helpful. Jordan, wrapping up, by the end of this year, I'm gonna put you on the spot again. Sorry. By the end of this year, what do you feel like you'd want your role to look like?
What do I want my role to look like? That's a good question, man. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I think it was,
or not look like too. Could be not that could be easier.
You know, I love what I'm doing, and I guess what I want to change is I need somebody to help me. I need that implementer. Right? So I guess in my day to day, I don't know that a lot for me would change necessarily. Or that I want a lot of that to change, to be honest with you. But I have a lot to be desired as far as like knowing what the next step is to build this company. And I know that that doesn't necessarily mean that I need to probably change what I'm doing outside of more, I guess, other than I probably need to do a better job of hiring people and learning how to find the right next person to bring us to that next level. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to change a lot of what I'm doing right now, other than I just know that what it's going to take from here to get to where we want to go. And if I'm going to do something, or if we're going to keep growing the company, which is extremely important to me, it's something I want to keep doing more so just because that's what keeps me motivated is the growth and continuing to do more and to come up with new ideas. That's what's exciting to me. And to continue to do that, now I need to like learn a new skill, I guess. And that is how to manage middle management and do that part of the business. And so to continue doing what I'm doing. Yeah, that's what's got to change.
You've spoken it to the printing community. And so this is that first step, so that when we come on in a year, you're going to be like, I struck out hiring this person. I got this implementer, this integrator. This is super cool. And I say this to everyone, like we're all coworkers working on the same problems every single day. And some of the best advisors, mentors, connectors, accountability buddies have been from this industry. And so, you know, when you start to find it, you can start to see your business really, really, really start to move. So this is super cool. Thank you for being vulnerable today and open about your business.
Well, thanks, guys. Yeah, I think you opened up some insight for me, and maybe I'll be asking. I'll send you a message, Stephen, and you're gonna have to give me your stack of how you run your days, because maybe I got something to learn there.
Too many meetings. That's why. Yeah. Too many meetings. No, but Jordan, you know, when you showed us that app that you built last week, I've spent my entire week on Replit building a tool that I just pushed live. So like it goes in both directions. And today I'm trying to figure out Claude Cowork. So
yeah, that's awesome, man. I think there's so much, the possibilities are just endless with that stuff. And I think it's something worth being excited about. And I think if there's anybody out there who's not excited about it, get excited about it, because you gotta find some passion for that kind of stuff, or you're gonna have a heck of a time, or find somebody else who's got passion for it, because you're gonna have a heck of a time keeping up if you don't, because it's amazing and it is changing so fast, and it's so powerful, the amount of things that you can do and the efficiencies that you can bring to your business utilizing this technology. It's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Jordan Tollickson from Fast Threads, Stephen Farrig, Bruce Bertabo, we appreciate you guys. Thank you, Printhusters, for joining us on another episode. We'll see you guys in the next one. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.